Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome. We're glad to have you on this Thanksgiving Sunday, and we are glad that you're here today as we have come in to extend our worship and praise to God and give thanks for all the blessings in our lives. And a little bit later on, we'll be considering the question, how do we stay awake and faithful in our times? So let's begin this morning by standing together and joining and singing our Gloria Patria.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Well, let's join together for our call to worship. We lift our thanks to the Lord.
To God who created the heavens and the earth.
We raise our voices in songs and speech. Lord, hear our prayers. Accept our praise.
We open our hearts to the blessings of peace.
Well, let's join together and do that this morning. You can turn into your hymn books, hymn number 76, or you can follow along on the PowerPoint, For the Beauty of the Earth, all four verses this morning. There for our opening prayer this morning. Transforming God, take our darkness and give us light. Take our frustration and give us peace. Take our sadness and give us joy. Take our fear and give us love. Take our loss and give us life. O God, you give and you give and you give. So we give you thanks. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. choir is going to come and share with us this morning.
Go first. Okay, what are you thankful for? You don't know? Well, I thought you wanted your hand to raise. I thought you would know. Family. There you go. Yes. Sure. Yes.
All of our needs.
All of our what?
Our needs.
Ah, yes. Yes, all the things that we have every day, our food, our water, very good, yes. Yes, we do thank God for all of that. He supplies our needs, don't we? Yes. Somebody else, what do you think? Is anybody thankful for ice cream? I am. Yes, I am. How about candy? Are you thankful for candy? What? Oh, they're all not healthy. They trained her well. No more candy and ice cream for her. I'm just kidding. But your mom had that, though. Yes. So what else? What else are you thankful for? Are you happy you got a comfortable bed to sleep in at night? Yeah. How about heat in your house? It's been kind of cold out, hasn't it? It's starting to get winter, close to winter, isn't it? Yeah. Lights, so you can see. Thankful for family, yep. Our mom and dad, grandparents, all those things. And we are very grateful and thankful for all that God has blessed us with. Definitely. And that's what I want you to think about today. Now, maybe you didn't say something. Because sometimes maybe you don't like to, although I've had others say something before. But remember, God has blessed us all with a lot of stuff. And we are very grateful. Thank God that our mommies and daddies have work and jobs and everything that they do. And God blesses us that way so that we can have a lot of those things that we like. And with all these girls up here, it might be pretty expensive. I don't know. Yeah, you know what? I think Chase costs more than my daughter's ever did. But that may be sports. So, all right. You guys can go on downstairs. And I'm not. All right. I wasn't sure. Looks like his step has him this morning.
It's working with him this morning. Yes. So, as we go to our joys and concerns this morning, maybe you have one that you would like to share with us this morning before we go to our time of prayer. And so we want to let you do that this morning. So somebody, yes.
The Hall family, their mother and grandmother passed away this week.
Oh, wow. That's tough when it when both happens.
No, mother to a longtime friend of mine, grandmother to...
Oh, okay.
Gotcha.
Anybody else this morning? Yes.
Yes, my sister, she did find out that she did have lung cancer, but then also it spread to the back of her heart, to the wall.
Oh, wow. You know what? Let me say this first while I'm thinking about it. You may want to fill out one of those prayer slips so we can get her on in the bulletin and in our monthly calendar. In fact, if you can give that to me after church, because I'm working on the monthly calendar right now. So what is her first name again?
Sharon.
Yeah, we prayed for her last week. And definitely want to do that. So, wow. Someone else, I thought, yes. Is that the Hefner family then?
Yeah. Marshall.
What?
And then a lot of people knew Ralph Gray. He lived till he was going to be 99, but he died the day before he hit 99. And so.
What family's that?
It would be Ralph Gray.
Gray family?
Yeah.
Okay.
They live in Cleveland now. And then Ellie, grandma, has a sore throat and a bad cough.
Oh boy, that sounded like what I had.
And kind of a joy and yet a big concern. Surely Stockton is friends with Carol and I for I don't know how many years. She had the bad heart issues. They are working on them and she's doing better. But the mass in her chest they found when she had these heart issues, they're going to be doing a PET scan on her soon to see what they need to do, if they're going to have to operate on her or not.
Okay, so who's the one we're praying for? Sharon?
Sure.
Oh, Shirley. Okay.
Yeah. Bonnie's got to go in for some biopsies coming up here. And then also an unspoken prayer, please.
Okay. So we want to remember the unspoken, and we want to remember Bonnie with the biopsy coming up. And somebody else. Yes.
A nephew, Mike, has been recently diagnosed with prostatic cancer.
So okay. All right, so we want to remember Mike. He's been diagnosed with cancer, and I know there's several over here.
A classmate's sister has just found out she has breast cancer. She has surgery coming up in December.
Do you know her name?
Her first name is Eunice.
Eunice. Ah, that's a name I haven't heard in a long time. Okay, Eunice. Yes.
My cousin Chris Hughes still needs prayers. He's still in rehab. Trying to get those sores on his legs healed.
And help me with his first name?
Chris.
Yeah, Chris. Yeah, okay. Thank you. Anybody? Well, we're okay. We got a bunch more.
A neighbor Shirley that's having health issues.
Wow, we got another Shirley. Okay. Yeah.
I'm smoking.
Okay. And Tommy?
Andy and her family.
Yes, yeah, definitely want to remember them. Yeah, they are doing well. They have a place that they're staying with, which is right next door, which I believe Carrie's grandson bought. And so they're staying in the house, even though it's not totally fixed up, but they have a place there. We've been on top of that here at the church, and when I ask about clothing for everybody, she said the neighbors and friends came out of the woodwork and brought stuff to make sure that they were taken care of. So we'll let you know if things come up here in the future. I told Carla yesterday, I said that could be maybe after the first of the year when things could change. The one thing, though, I think we need to keep in prayer is, but it sounds like things are going well, is for the whole insurance thing to get taken care of. Because sometimes that can just kind of drag on, you know, but because there's a lot of different entities involved with that from what Carrie was telling me. So somebody else, anybody else this morning? Prayers this morning for the different needs there. Okay, well, there's lots of them there. We were going rather quickly. And so if some of those names that you think of while she's playing, you can lift those up to the Lord. And then I will close us out then. Lord, as we pause this morning, we are thankful for your presence in our lives. We're thankful that for all the blessings, all the provisions, all the abilities and strengths and talents and everything that you have blessed us with, that has been encoded into our very being through our DNA and genes and everything. And we are grateful for the privilege to be able to enjoy all the blessings that we really are overwhelmed by in the life that we experience here. And so we're thankful and we're grateful. We're thankful for our families. We're thankful for our children. We're thankful for our grandchildren and great-grandchildren. We're thankful for Jesus and all that he did and how he showed us the way to walk in God's way, for his amazing love and grace that he extends to us every day. And we are so privileged and thankful that he prays for us and intercedes for us before the Father. And so we thank you for all of these things, O God, and what you do in our lives. And Lord, as the different ones were being named off today, the various names, I was thinking about some of these folks that are suffering and hurting and going through different things. And we just pray that you would extend your healing grace today. Lord, we pray for Shirley today, God, your touch upon her. We pray for Sharon, Lord, with the lung cancer, God, that you would work in her life and do a miracle there, oh God. We pray for Ellie, Lord, with his cough and not feeling good, that you would minister and touch her. We pray for this other Shirley who has a mass in her chest, God, that they found out about. Lord, we just ask for your healing touch there and your grace. We pray for Mike with his prostate cancer, God, that you would bring healing there and grace and wisdom. For Eunice, Lord, that's been diagnosed with breast cancer, God, for your healing grace and faith there. We pray for Chris, Lord, as he's going through rehab and the healing of these sores, Lord, God, and wounds. We pray for your healing touch there. And for each one of these that we lifted up, Lord, as they're working with the doctors and the nurses and the staff in the hospitals, we pray for wisdom and guidance in all of those situations, Lord. And Lord, we lift up Bonnie, Lord, as she's going in for that biopsy, God. We just pray that there'll be a good report, Lord, and that a negative report will come back. And we just trust for you to be with her and bring healing and strength to her every day. And we're thankful, Lord. And Lord, we think about the others, Lord, that have been mentioned. Some that are hurting and suffering. We think of Angie Fritz and her husband and the family, God. Lord, we just pray for your comfort and peace and grace there. Thank you so much for folks that just stepped out of the woodwork, so to speak, and helped in so many different ways. And so we pray for them. There's just such a loss. And I know that the difficulty of all of that has to be overwhelming at times. And I pray for grace and strength. We also lift up the Hall family, the Hefner family, the Gray family, with the loss of these loved ones. God, we just ask that you would extend your love and your comfort and your peace to them today. And we thank you for that. Lord, we lift up the two unspoken requests that were mentioned, and maybe of others today that might have a need there. And we just ask that you would meet that need and that you would bring your blessing and your hand of grace and extend your work into their lives, whatever the situations may be there. And Lord, we're so grateful and thankful that for this community of faith where we can gather each week and know that we are loved and that God loves us and that we can experience God's grace when we come in here and walk out of here encouraged and built up and strengthened for our week ahead. And I just pray that you will do that, Lord. And Lord, as we continue the rest of our service, we ask your blessing. As we break the bread of your word, may you once again just encourage us and strengthen us in our walk with you, that we might be faithful servants in these days. And we're so thankful for all of these things as we ask it in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Well, thank you for joining us in prayer this morning. And now we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving. And once again, just thank you so much for your faithfulness in giving. And I've heard it many times in the past, many decades ago, is that we can never outgive God when we follow that practice and be a blessing, that God always returns that blessing, not just financially, but in a whole lot of other ways that sometimes we don't always know about. And I have found that to be true in my life. So thank you for your faithfulness. And as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give today. Let's join together there for our prayer of dedication. There are no limits to the blessings you have given us, gracious Lord. Now we return thanks to you as we bring a portion to you, asking for your blessing on gifts and givers. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Well, our scripture reading this morning is coming from 1 Thessalonians again, as we are following along with our lectionary letters there. And we're going to be reading from chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And you can follow along on the PowerPoint this morning if you would like to. Now, concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light and children of the day. For we are not children of the night or of darkness. So then, let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of the hope of salvation. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing. That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word, and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. Well, one day, an old German shepherd starts chasing rabbits, and before long discovers that he's lost. Wandering about, he notices a panther heading rapidly in his direction with the intention of having lunch. The old German shepherd thinks, oh, I'm in deep doo-doo now. Noticing some bones on the ground close by, he immediately settles down to chew on the bones with his back to the approaching cat. Just as the panther is about to leap, the old German shepherd exclaims loudly, "Boy, that was a delicious panther. I wonder if there are any more around here." Hearing this, the young panther halts his attack in mid-stride. A look of terror comes over him, and he slinks back away into the trees. "Whew," he says, the panther, "that was close. That old German shepherd nearly had me." Well, meanwhile, a squirrel had been watching the whole scene from a nearby tree, figures he can put this knowledge to good use and trade protection from the panther. So off he goes. But the old German shepherd sees him heading after the panther with great speed and figures that something is up. The squirrel soon catches up with the panther, spills the beans, and strikes a deal for himself with the panther. The young panther is furious at being made a fool and says, "Here, squirrel, hop on my back and see what's going to happen to convince that conniving canine." Now, the old German shepherd sees the panther coming with the squirrel on his back and thinks, what am I going to do now? But instead of running, the dog sits down with his back to his attackers, pretending he hasn't seen them yet. And just when they get close enough to hear, the old German shepherd says, "I wonder where that squirrel is. I sent him off an hour ago to bring back another panther." Kind of a long one there this morning, but kind of conveys an interesting some ideas there. I want to talk to you this morning about staying awake. The late Reverend W. Herbert Brewster, who was from Memphis, Tennessee, had pastored the same church in Memphis for 57 years. He had written songs in the black gospel music arena. He had written plays and dramas. He was a poet, and he had done so much and made such an impact of many Christians. As I was reading about his life this week online, I found out that he had a great influence on a young singer that we are all very familiar with, Elvis Presley. Here's what he says. He says these words, and it's kind of poetic a little bit here, a little poem. If you walk by faith and not by sight, though dark and starless be your night, Christ, the bright and morning star, will lead you on, and you'll never be left to walk alone. As I was thinking about that and happened to come across this little statement by him, I started to think a little bit about the dark and starless night and that encounter. And in light of what Paul says in our reading today, because we've probably all faced or walked through dark and starless nights. And one of the things that we experience in those times, and I know I'm thinking a little bit about myself here, is we face those dark, starless nights, and they are often something that comes into our life that's beyond our control, something that we weren't expecting. And when it happened, it was like it was totally out of our control. Well, Paul, in our reading today, is talking to the Thessalonians about the day of the Lord and not being caught off guard by it. Kind of things, because many times when we think about that, we think about something that is out of our control. Well, let me just say something, and I want to help you to understand something, because if you don't understand this, you'll miss what Paul is saying. So because of teaching that happens in America, many of us think the day of the Lord is the end of the world. But the day of the Lord in the Old Testament, where it comes from, is this: sudden times in history when God shook nations, shook rulers, shook institutions, or shook God's people. If you read through the places where the day of the Lord appears in the Old Testament, it happens in various places at various times, where God shook the nation of Babylon, where God shook the nation of Assyria, where God shook the Babylonian ruler, or God shook the Persian Empire's ruler, or where God shook Israel, or where God shook Judah. And when it happened quickly, and it would just, things would be torn up and destruction and everything else would happen at times, and people were often caught off guard. Well, Paul says that this is not going to catch you off guard. In fact, he says it's kind of like a woman being in labor. Now, one of the interesting things is in Romans 8, when Paul is talking about new creation and everything that has happened in light of Christ's death and resurrection and us going through baptism and walking in newness of life in Christ, he talks about creation that is groaning like a woman in labor, wanting to give birth. And when he talks about that, he says in there that creation is groaning in labor so that she can be set free from her decay, from everything that is wrong in our world, sin and death and everything else, then violence and all of those things. And then Paul Because he's talking about new creation and what God wants to bring. He doesn't stop short. He goes a little further and he says, but you and I have the Spirit who lives in us, who helps us when we are groaning through life. Because we too are longing for the day when we will experience our resurrection bodies. Where there's no more decay. There's no more suffering. There's no more pain. And so in our reading today, the Apostle Paul reminds the church at Thessalonica to stay awake and to remain faithful in doing what they are already doing. And in light of what God is doing in the earth, what God is doing in the world, sometimes God shakes. The writer of the Hebrews says that God will shake everything that can be shaken, so that what's left is something far better. And Paul says, you guys need to stay awake and keep alert and keep doing what you're doing. You need to remain faithful. And as I was thinking about that, I was trying to think, how does that relate to our lives today? What about us and we're facing and life and stuff? We experience times in our world where we hear the things about Israel and Hamas and what's going on there. We hear about what's going on in Russia. We hear about this and that, and we see things happening and we wonder, is the Lord coming back? Is the Lord coming soon? And Paul does not ever get into speculations about that. He says two things. Number one, it's going to happen. And number two, we don't know when. But the one thing, though, that he says in the midst of all of that is what he just said here. Stay alert, remain faithful at doing the things that the Lord has called us to do. So here's my question. How do we stay awake and remain faithful? Two things I want us to look at here. First of all, stay with Christ. Stay with Christ. And as I thought about this week and what Paul has said throughout 1 Thessalonians, that we've looked at some of those passages that follow this year's lectionary, it's kind of like, think of it like two sides of a coin. And so the two points I'm going to give you here are kind of like the two sides of the coin. First of all, we stay alert by remaining in our Savior. Now, Jesus does an interesting thing in John chapter 15. He says that you are to abide in Him. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. In other words, hold on to me. Depend on me. Have faith in me. And I will remain with you. Now, we're going to get to that in just a moment. But I want to talk a little bit about this remaining in our Savior. Paul talks about in various places how we are in Christ through faith and baptism. And no doubt for Paul, day-to-day faith in our everyday lives is Christ-centered and Christ-driven. In other words, Christ stays at the center of our lives and Christ drives or leads us in life. And it's why he said those famous words from the book of Galatians, no, it's not me, but Christ working in me or through me, who lives in me. In other words, he's saying there, I can't do any of this on my own, but it's Christ who lives in me that helps me to do that. And through everything we face, through everything that may go on in our world, yes, we hear these stories, we hear the news, and we're wondering, and our thoughts go in various directions, and sometimes fear may try to creep in. Other times we wonder what is happening in our world. Here's what I want you to hear this morning. Stay focused on Christ. And Paul is reminding the church that they are day people as opposed to night people. We are people of the day. We are people of the, as opposed to being people of the night. And he is reminding them with that language of our connection with Christ. Christ is the one that makes us day people as opposed to night people. Now, I'm talking spiritually. I'm not talking about, oh, you mean people that work at night? No, 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 no. I'm talking about spiritually. We are people of the day. Day, night. Light, darkness. That's common in Scripture. And he's saying, he's reminding them of their connection with Christ. Now, that's the one side. We remain, we stay connected. Faith, trust, keep going. The other side of that coin is this. We stay alert with our Savior at our side. Or he stays with us. And an interesting thing is, Paul tells Timothy, even when we are faithless, he stays with us. And I started to think about that. Think of it this way. In Luke, I think it's about chapter 19, Jesus, we are told that Jesus weeps for Jerusalem because they have chosen the way of violence over the way he was trying to teach them about peace. And he knew what was coming down the pike. He knew what the Romans were going to do to them. And if you read through history, 70 CE, 70 AD, the Romans came in and said, enough of it. They besieged Jerusalem, starved the people out, destroyed the temple and everything. And it was a mess. And if you have ever read anything from Josephus, he tells how bad it got during that time. But here's the thing. When Jesus wept for Jerusalem, he stayed there and he went through Jerusalem to the cross. And Paul says that he died for us, and that's why we have everything that we have. And not only that, but think about his own followers. When he faced betrayal, when they denied him, he stayed with them. That's the interesting thing. And Paul reminds the church that Christ stays with us, so we should not get worried. We should not be overcome with fear when we hear on the news or whatever else about earth-shattering changes that are taking place in our world, where leaders are gone and new leaders are replaced, or one country is defeated and another. We should stay the course. And you know what? Not only does God do that or allow that to happen and shake in the world, but God also shakes in the church. And we've heard a lot of stories in the last years about how that happens. So here's my point. Stay with Christ. The next thing is stay in the light. Paul talks about not only we are children of the day, but he says we are children of the light. How do we do that? How's that work? Well, we stay awake by continuing in his radiance. Radiance, his presence, his glory, all of that. If you'll remember the story from the book of Acts, if you've never read through it, I'd encourage you to read that interesting story. I think it happens in chapter 9, and then it happens in two other places where Paul retells the story in the book of Acts. If you'll remember, Paul experienced that glorious light, that radiant light, while traveling on the road to Damascus that stopped him in his tracks. And when this happened, Paul didn't know what was going on. And he said, Lord, Lord, what's going on? Who are you? And the voice from heaven says, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Well, Luke tells us in Acts who Paul, or Saul at that time, Saul of Tarsus, who becomes Paul, who he was persecuting. He was persecuting the church. So notice how Jesus identifies with the church. And not only did that stop Paul in his tracks, but Christ's radiant light was so powerful, Luke tells us that it blinded Paul. And so everything was totally out of his control. In fact, we are told that I think it's Ananias that came along and helped Paul to get to a house. And Ananias told Paul about Jesus and what it all meant. And from then on, we are told by Luke that Paul's eyes were healed. He was called by God and he was empowered to take the good news to the Gentiles. Stay in the light. Not only are we stay awake by continuing in his radiance, but we stay alert by walking in God's armor. Paul tells us there in Thessalonians that that armor is there for us. It's God's armor. It comes out of Isaiah chapter, I think it's 59, somewhere in there. Notice what the armor is, though. So you can tell it's spiritual. It's not real armor, it's spiritual armor. Because that armor is faithfulness, love, and hope, or the hope of our salvation. That's the armor that we put on. We remain faithful. We walk in love, and we continue to put our hope in the Lord when we face dark and starless nights. Think about that for a minute. That's what we need to do. That really encapsulates what it's all about, this entire message. How do we remain faithful? We walk in faithfulness. We continue to love, and we hope in the Lord through everything that may. And you know what? Dark and starless nights, as you know, if you've ever faced them, can sometimes be fearful times in our lives. But when we stay in the light, because we're children of the light, we can see where we're going. This summer, we went to Nashville and Memphis on vacation. And a lot of stuff that happens down there is about on the edge of dark time down there. You know, if you've ever been down there, you know what it is. There's eating places galore. There's bars galore. There's places to sing and dance and everything. And we had a good time, although we didn't stay real late at night all the time. But here's the thing. When we were walking in Nashville and Memphis at night, we stayed in the lights on the sidewalk so that it could give us the ability to get back to our whole hotel. And the wonderful thing was that the street's lights were never overcome by the darkness. And by staying in that light, we made our way back to the hotels night after night safely. And it's no wonder that the psalmist penned these words: "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though wars rise up against me, yet I will be confident. All because the Lord is our light." How do we face dark and starless times? I think one songwriter captured it best, and the choir has sung it, these words before. In times like these, we need a Savior. In times like these, we need an anchor. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. That rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. That rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure your anchor holds. And it goes on. Yeah, so you get the point. I think that really captures what it's about. Stay in the Savior. So let me read his words again. If we walk by faith and not by sight, though dark and starless be our night, Christ, the bright and morning star, will lead us on and will never be left to walk alone. Stay in Christ. Stay in the light. Stay awake and alert. Amen. Amen. Well, take just a few moments and greet one another real quick and shake a few hands, and then we'll go ahead and get ready to close out there with our chorus, Give Thanks, this morning.
It is. So you can see the difference from your culture. You can go ahead and start playing now.
Like to stand, I would encourage you to join with us as we sing this little chorus here. Give thanks with a grateful heart this morning. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done for us. Well, let's join together for our benediction. As we have been blessed, now go to be a blessing to others. Go, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. Amen.